All right, we are still at when it's a camp meeting. Praise the Lord. We are getting ready. Anyone ready? Getting ready for camp meeting here? You sure about that? Man, you know you have to get ready for the moving of God's Spirit. You know, I've had to talk to people that God had used at certain places. Remember, I had this conversation with Reverend Tokes he came to speak for us then in Ikorodu. That must be 29 years ago. And then I had heard and got to see some things that the Lord used him to do then in the University of Ibadan. Then he had me talk about it, so you will hear it from him. And that spread across campuses. So I asked him, was this just that something just happened? You know, I shared with you in Psalm 103 now, and verse 7, where he says, he showed, let's look at it, Psalm 103. You in church? Yes. All right. And verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Now, this is not about it goes around to now say, the Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. We know that we shall. And he was really referring to Moses. And then it says his ways. And I said the word ways there is derek or darak, both ways. Where you know someone's plan, what he intends to do. And the Bible is very big on knowing God's will. The Bible is big on knowing God's will. The Bible talks a lot about, and all the Pauline prayers are targeted towards identifying God's will in the earth. And for very carnal Christians, that's a very dry prayer point. That I just pray for revelation knowledge, and you don't know that it's actually what is needed the most, because now you know how to take the right actions. So I asked him then, he said, he made his known, his ways known. Now, they are not opposites. Let me mention that. It's not that when you know his ways, you don't see his acts. Or when you see his acts, you can't know his ways. It actually means you should both know his ways. Because how did they see the acts of God anyway? Was it not through the ministry of Moses? So it's not like they are opposites. And this is some of the reasons why we have to be careful of some slang. Some people just go to church for miracles. You should go to church for the word. No. You can also go to church for miracles. Don't conflict scriptures. But you cannot go to church primarily for miracles. That's the issue. That's what you should say. And when you go to church to know the word, all right, faith in God's word does produce the miraculous. So don't, they're not, you know, I've cautioned us against this or that, right? Mm-hmm. Be cautioned about that. It's not this or, they're not conflicting things. So, now it says he made known his ways. And so I'm going to get back on that. All right, so you know, and Yahweh asked him, what did you do? And then he told me, twice, one, I mean 10 years apart. He said, well, I spent time fasting. Because I'd seen God move to where I was. So I wanted to be sure that mine wasn't just like it happened, you know. He said, I took time to wait on the Lord. And he wasn't so much, I was instructed to fast. And he gave me about 18 months he spent praying. And I said, wow. So that 18 months a bit looks, I always say stereotype, but it's similar somewhere. It's something that is a bit consistent. So I said, well, that's something that I could take note of. And I said, you know, that's not something you can, it's not a theory, all right? So when he said that, I said, okay. Because the thing was so intense that a lot of people got involved in the work of the ministry. I mean, it was something. And, you know, and I knew that, okay. It's not like God has a method, that if you don't use this method, but you can actually know how he works. You can know. And we said that just reading scriptures, God's stories are woven around people. And if you listen to the When is the Camp meeting, I believe the one I taught, one on the mission, 2024, should also be out. You should go listen to it. I made some emphasis there, and some other ones will be released in a couple of days. And while I was on the road, and I did say that when you miss man, you miss God, and that's the most tricky part, because you know, man looks ordinary to us virtually all the time, particularly when we're accustomed to such men. It happened to Miriam and Aaron. You know, I'm sure that when the Red Sea was split, they'll almost figure to touch the hand of Moses. Like, if I touch this rod and it splits me into two, you know. But after a while, you know, I'm sure they've just seen that, you know, all the glory he carried in Exodus 33 will have faded away. So it's likely to feel, maybe this is just instantaneous. And, you know, and I also mentioned that, you know, we usually, when we pray, I think I should mention this, when we pray, our mind sometimes is like God will send one supernatural being. So we talk about an angel, you know, God's going to send an angel. But when the scriptures discuss it, it says, what is man? You're mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him. Then it says, you've made him a little lower than angels, Elohim. That is the spirit world. So you've made this man mortal, then also earthly. And, you know, little lower. So you discover that whilst I'm expecting the spectacular, I see man as non-supernatural. So I'm just going to look at the spectacular. On Sunday, I gave you the story about how, you know, we also grew up believing in the spectacular realm. So you are likely going to focus on the spectacular. An angel appeared, and, you know, this happened, you know, and you think that's where the answer will come from. But the psalmist said, and then you crowned him with glory and honor. The writer of Hebrews actually says, to which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son, today have I begotten you? He said, none. Sorry, to which of the angels said at any time, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. He said, none. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Or who is the heir of salvation? Man. So that of the psalmist now says that, what is man you're mindful of him, son of man, visit him? He said, you crown him with glory and honor, and you put him over the works of your hands. The writer of Hebrews says you put all things under his feet. That's a bit of a contrast or paradox, that the one that is lower is now higher. So by visuals, the angelic beings are called flames of fire. But in authority and God's method, man is primary. Are you following what I'm saying here? Man is primary. So God's answer in situations is not primarily angelic beings, it's human beings. And in redemption history, it's the birth of human beings, the birth of human beings. The birth of Noah, the call of Abraham, birth of Isaac, the birth of Jacob, the birth of Joseph, the birth of Moses. It's never an angelic appearance primarily. So we must know God's ways. And you know his ways, you definitely, in that broad sense, you can predict him. Knowing how he works. So we say, how does he work? He works with humanity. He works with man, the frail man. You know, and this is why in Numbers 27, when Moses had been, Numbers 20 was when he was told he can't lead them anymore. And Numbers 21, he raises the brazen serpent. By Numbers 27, he now beckoned the Lord. Pay attention to what he said. Knowing that he wasn't leading them anymore, he said that you have to choose a man over your people. You are the God of all, the spirit of all flesh. Choose a man over your people who will lead the congregation of the Lord in and out. Said, because your people cannot be a sheep having no shepherd. And I noted it for you on Sunday that, notice that it wasn't the absence of God, God was right there, present in their midst, yet they needed a man. Why? Because that is how he works. Now, it doesn't mean that he has no capacity to work otherwise, but that is how he has chosen to work. And that's where Joshua was taken. So, from that is obvious that Moses knew God's ways. That when God hasn't sent a man, he's not doing anything yet. That to arouse what he does on earth, he will send a man. He will use a man. So, we therefore can know his ways, his method. So when we are praying about the move of God's Spirit, look at what Jesus asked us to pray for. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers. I'm taking my time to explain this well. It looks like something I've been saying again and again. I know brethren forget, because I'm also a brethren. I know we brethren. Or like we say in the Casco world, all of us are brethren. But one single person is a brethren. Bruh is the holy type. No, bro is the holy type. Bruh is the is trying. That one is they've used they still put his name in the book of life. It's not really they still put his name. You know, so you have that tendency, we tend to forget. And I'm just reminding you that there is no closer encounter like Mary, who practically housed God. But it got to a point, the same Mary was not looking for Jesus, worried. That's not ordinary. That is a loss of the sense of who he is. Because after a while, when you associate, when you relate, you have a tendency of not knowing who the person is. It's just the same way you can go to church the first time and you behave yourself and all that. The second time, by the third and fourth time, just by people welcoming you and talking with you more, you'll just be more relaxed. Now, that being more relaxed may actually now lead to you being less conscious of where you are. We usually get less conscious of the value of anything by much use or by getting used to it. So Mary, you know, got very, very familiar with Jesus. That at some point she asked them to go and call him, that she wants to see him, you know, and all of that. So it's just like John the Baptist. I mentioned John too, who baptized Jesus. And he said, no, I'm not willing to baptize you. I'm not willing to even remove your shoelace and all that. Then he later on said, are you the one to come or should we expect another? So just with time, we have a tendency of forgetting. We have a tendency of forgetting. And that time is not necessarily that. It may just be that the person or persons became much more human than we expected. I'm not saying that they are living in sin. No, they're just much more human than expected. It's not unlikely that Gehazi must have felt, 2 days ago, I was watching a Chelsea game, and Elisha said that Chelsea will lose against Newcastle. If we cannot connect the dots, then there's a dot to connect there. And then they won. You know what I mean? You don't know what I mean yet. You are laughing mischievously. Because you know what I mean. You know, I just be like, if Prophet Elisha can miss a game. Oh, you know what I mean now, right? That means that I can scope him now. You know, it's just what it is. If he can miss a game, I can scope him and tell him that I went for evangelism when I actually went after Naaman. It's just that. And let's now bring it home. So on Sunday we said that how does God achieve it? How does he do it? We said it would be by interactions. And we said that interaction is now much more solidified in meetings. So let's bring it home. And I gave you my own personal story. The meeting I went for the first time, I was fasting. I practically raised money to go. I didn't have the complete funds. When I got there, I was still requesting for funds to attend the meeting. I mean, I didn't have even enough funds to stay in a hotel throughout. I had to join a team. I never told you this part before. So I was moving from house to house, you know, just to be able to stay through that meeting. And I didn't miss any session. So I've been going for years. Then suddenly I had the luxury of paying for my own hotel and all that. And, you know, I now was thinking I could miss a session. You know, it's just what how we all are. You know, I could miss a session. I will get the CDs. The very first time I went, I didn't have money for the CDs. But now that I had money for the CDs, I was now planning the CDs instead of being at the session. It's the same thinking that we think you just somehow subtly, it will just drop because you have been there once, twice, three, four, five times. It will just drop. It's unconscious. So I was now negotiating how I would miss the first session and go to the hotel, a hotel I couldn't afford years ago. I could now go to that hotel to rest and miss the session. Why? A sense of dishonor had entered. It's unconscious. So I had to check myself quickly. And the first thing I did was remind myself of my past. Don't forget where you came from. That's why even when you are judging people, remind yourself of who you are. You are a sinner who has been saved and granted God's compassion and love. Simple. So you just remind yourself that don't think like this. Think properly. So when it comes to meetings too, there is a tendency that your expectation honor levels will just drop. It's unconscious. You know? And you just notice that the way you saw things before, you weren't doing it again. It has nothing to do with the meeting, though. Not at all. I told you the story of how we organized a meeting. Was it on Sunday I said it? That we organized a Holy Ghost meeting. I think I said it also in Accra. That Holy Ghost meeting. And before that Holy Ghost meeting, we had had series of meetings, believers meetings. I think Pastor Oke attended one of such meetings. And we suddenly something just happened. People said, you know, and we just started having bickerings, you know, and we took our eyes off the meeting. But interestingly, those that were invited, they were not part of the bickerings, came for the meeting with no information. Nobody gave them any GSM. Maybe if there was GSM then, someone would have texted someone and said, just be cautious as you come. So nobody did that. So they just came for the meeting. And they now had a different testimony. Different from those who organized it. A different testimony. They came. In fact, I remember that a particular ministry began from that meeting. Some began to have outreaches. Some began to write. You know, this was 26 years, 25 years ago. And those who organized it fought before it, fought during it, fought after it. Was it not the same meeting? And I showed you on Sunday that in Luke 5, where Jesus ministered, the people present there were Pharisees. And they were there to argue. They were actually arguing. But the power of God was there. Now, let me ask you. If the power of God was such that it was discernible whether you believed it or not, let's use that phrase, you know they would not have argued. They would have felt, I'm stop arguing. Which really meant that it depends on what you see. So some people were outside. Someone say outside. Say it again, outside. Outside the venue. outside the synagogue, they saw what was inside. Maybe we should change it. They saw who was inside. They knew that if he was there, what did the woman of the issue of blood, do you think she felt anything? No. She knew that if she could touch the hem of Jesus' clothes, Jesus was not even planning to minister to her. That's one of the reasons why the apostles at some point said, who touched me? How can God ask you who touched me? That means he's not all knowing. So Jesus had to ask, who touched me? That means a lot of people were touching the clothes of Jesus, but only one single person recorded was able to draw virtue out of it. In the earlier days, we used to call something, we call it making a demand. And what we used to say that was that we are going for a meeting, you pray in such a way that you make a demand that the minister will minister to you. But it's just an intelligent way of knowing how to participate in the meeting. An intelligent way. You should be intelligent enough. We also call it drawing. And is that Mark 5? She said at home, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. If I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. If I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. She didn't say if he prays for me. If I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Now, Jesus was going to the house of Jairus. Unknown to him was the woman. Unknown to him was that she touched his clothes to be healed. Unknown to him was who it was. But you see, that played no part in the fact that the woman was the one who made the demand. I told you how I went for a meeting and Rostatro asked me. He said, are you listening to what I'm saying? I said, I came with a workman, which means that before I got to the meeting, I had said it, that the man of God, I didn't even know him, will make his ministry applicable to me. And he did. Not that I sat in one room and I said, the man of God will make it applicable to me, then I turned on my Netflix. Then after that, well, go to all the details. I just want to teach you intelligence. Are you here? I want us to predict camp meeting. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
We can predict it. We can predict even the unpredictable nature. That is, we will say that God will do new things. And he will.
Yes.
And it's not something that is even in our mind. But we'll be able to say this is how God will move in a way that we will know how. So, I pity those that don't like words like the move of God. They will remain very, very dry. And in their heart of hearts, they are always crying. You know, when you are crying, I don't know why, what is beating you? You have said you don't believe in the move of God. You have said you don't believe that God is doing anything new. But when you are alone, you are saying, oh God, oh God, oh God. You are crying. Why are you crying? You don't know. Who is beating you? You don't know. So you can actually intelligently, you can be intelligent about it. So the woman just said, she touched his clothes. She said, who touched me? Then the woman told everything. Why was it important? Jesus made sure she gave the details. That detail is important today. So like the friends of the paralyzed man, they were outside the building. They were outside. That will bring him through the roof. We'll see that also shortly. Why company matters. Why the company you keep, why it matters. Now, I remember one meeting we went for. I won't mention the name of the pastor, but some of you know the person I'm talking about. And me and my friends were actually for that day. We had heard about, I told him about the meeting, so we now said this man of God, and we respected the man of God, we still do. So when he came to Ibadan, Premier Hotel, so we had spent the day before to have a Holy Ghost meeting preparing for the man of God. I've had a Holy Ghost meeting, and you know, and we all just stayed prayed up. We prayed Brother Hagin throughout that day. When we got to the place, the whole place was, the meeting didn't start at the right time. They were looking for even keyboard. We had to go and help them. I mean, it was, you know, when things go a little bit disorganized. But throughout, we were just praying in tongues. We kept the flow of the previous night. So as the man of God got up, he got up very late. In fact, some people had left. You know, he's a very popular preacher. Everybody here knows. So by the time everybody, we were just there, just praying in tongues. So when he now got up, he apologized for lateness and he hired the minister. Then he gave a word of knowledge. And nobody came out. And so we talked to ourselves, Emoji, you know him. Me passing, being that damsel. So we just went to get the person he was talking about. I'm not joking. Now, of course, we're younger. This is 28, 29 years ago. We're younger, but what we did that day might be a bit raw, you know, but it's actually true. We're able to get into that meeting with the man of God. And when we said, you are the one, we just went to meet the woman. You being. She said, yes. Why are you not going out? I'm not sure whether one of us, not me definitely, added to the word of knowledge. Knowing that this being said, yeah. So that's how we dragged that forward. And the pastor was like, wow. You know, now it looks a bit, you know, rough and all that, but there was something about that. We were able to get into the meeting. Who's following what I'm saying here? We may not have been, you know, but we were able to get into the meeting because we were full. We didn't leave. We didn't say what's happening to the keyboard. We didn't say, you know, no. Those are foolish things people say in a meeting. You know, is the keyboard why you came? If it's keyboard that you came, I'll tell you a concert Burna Boy is going to do in San Francisco. Go there and go and listen to keyboard. And you do it, they say. Don't, you should be intelligent. I expect a member of Saints Community Church to be very intelligent in the moving of the Spirit. Anywhere he is, if God is doing something, he will know. I expect a member of this church to be smart, spiritually speaking. I expect. So, why? Because that is the atmosphere we create in our meetings. We deliberately play down on entertainment. It is deliberate. You see it in our weddings now. You don't get what I'm saying about. That means we have the capacity. Capacity day is just where we use it. You see it in all the other things. But in church, it's like this different set of people. You know, because this is a different meeting. So you notice that, you know, I said, we're that intelligent. To know the moving of the Spirit. I remember that there was a day like that. You know, Reverend Tokes just called us and he said it was 95. He was supposed to preach at the Dubo Barracks. So he just told TJ, he said, look, I can't go. I forgot why. He said, can you guys just hold that meeting for me? It was a 3-day meeting and he gave us less than 12 hour notice. Less than that. But because regularly we used to hold Holy Ghost meetings as friends, we used to pray together, we would share the word. We hardly, anything we discuss, 80% would be the word, the move of the Spirit, would make sure you wake up to pray, you know, things like that. So by the time we got there, we just were 3 days, Odobo Barracks in Ibadan. And we had those three-day meeting. In fact, the meeting was, the chapel was filled. As people were going to the barracks to call people to join us. In fact, when we were done with the meeting, the chaplain must be a senior military officer. He was practically crying. He said, I pray for you young boys. This is the way God is using you. And he prayed for us. But the point what I'm saying here, we were just a few hours. And that's because I remember that my friend used to tell me, TJ then, I think it was 92 that I first said it. He said, never get ready, always live ready. Which means that always be ready for the move of God. Does it make sense? Always be ready for the move of God. Amen. Always be ready for the move of God. You know, I tell you that the way you grow is the way you grow. So I'm giving you intelligence. We look at the things that can hinder us. And I'm particularly teaching this because it's not just for camp meeting, it's for any of such meetings. We know God's method. Right? God's method is man. So if God is going to do something in Nigeria, he will use men. And I dare say one more thing that looks very interesting. In the days to come, I might explain it better. Just by watching method, and I saw it, apart from just reading scriptures, which is fundamental, I saw it in history, that when it comes to a place, a country, a nation, a people, God will usually use a resident or a citizen that is there. I say that oftentimes to those I know who are missionaries in some nations, that your job is not done till someone of that territory takes on the baton from you. Then your job is done. But in some other days, we'll look at that. So man's, God's method is man. And I said to us, the moment you miss man, you will miss God. The moment you miss man, you miss God. This is not in any way for you to worship any human being. So there's no human being that is worshipable. We all need to worship. But God uses men like that. So, Moses knew that if Israel was going to get into the promised land, somebody had to lead them. And news flash, that person is not God. Even though he was right there in their midst. And I also showed you how Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you to the end of the age." He gave them the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, another Comforter. Yet he had to say, "Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." And Jesus was right there when he was doing the feeding. He said, "Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you are converted, you strengthen the brethren." You can't miss that. I showed you also on Sunday how the angel appeared to Cornelius and asked him to call a man. It's something you can't miss in scripture. Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus. Then he said to wait, that somebody is coming to you. How come Jesus didn't do it himself? It's not that he couldn't do it himself. So forget all these things that Jesus cannot. I mean, I'm word of faith, and I do teach word of faith, believers, authority, truths. But I wouldn't be saying, you know, God cannot reach out to the unsaved. Jesus, because of where he is, he can't preach. I can't say that. It's not true. It's just that. That is his method. And he has chosen to honor it. So he appeared to Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus could have gotten saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and everything right there. He now sent Ananias to lay hands on him that he might fill the Holy Ghost and receive his sight. In Acts 13, the elders there, the prophets and teachers, were the ones that sent Paul out. So it means that whatever God was doing with Saul wasn't complete till he used men. If you miss the men, you miss what God is doing. So he said, how does he do it? Where two or three are gathered in my name. By interaction. And that interaction must be deliberate. The interaction must be deliberate. That's why he said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, that is how you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a prophet in the name of your best friend, you will get the best friend's reward. So I must be what? I must be what? Deliberate. I must be deliberate. I must be deliberate about how a meeting should look like. I must be deliberate. I must be intentional about those meetings. That's why Kenneth Hagin wrote Transposes and Pursuits, that we should hold meetings for the purpose why they are being held. If it's a prayer meeting, pray. If it's a teaching meeting, teach. Stick to the purpose. So we have to be deliberate. So let's put it like this. If you receive a prayer meeting in the name of a teaching meeting, you will get a teaching meeting's blessing or reward. But it will be unfortunate because there was no teaching done at the prayer meeting. If you receive a teaching meeting in the name of a prayer meeting, you will get a prayer meeting's reward. And unfortunately, there was no prayer meeting. If you receive a Holy Ghost meeting in the name of a teaching meeting, you will get a teaching meeting's reward, even though the word of God wasn't taught as expected. So which means that I must be deliberate. Ask myself, what is a camp meeting? I gave you the definition. I've done it over the years. Notice I keep saying the same thing. The camp meeting is an old tent meeting held in the 1900s. Kenneth Hagin now brought it to our attention. I keep repeating Kenneth Hagin. He brought it to our attention. If I had said the Holy Ghost told me, I'm bringing dishonor to what God is doing. I said, Brother Hagin did it. And I am convinced by the Holy Ghost now that that is something we should hold regularly. To keep the moving of the Spirit, the practice of the gifts of the Spirit, fresh and effective in our midst and through us. Brother Hagin then spoke about those meetings. People come in, throughout the day and then have meetings till evenings, days like that. It now became tent meetings. We can go on and on. So a camp meeting is just like that, where believers will camp in a place and their intention is to deliberately, right, flow in the gifts of the Spirit, even as the Word of God is taught. They will expect the moving of the Spirit. Now, I'll pause and talk to leaders and organizers. We can be the most careless when it comes to things like that. Why are we the most careless? Because we are organizing. They will be carried away. I remember what something Pastor Turbo said, one of those meetings I attended in VCF in 1994, 1994-95. He said that, and that day, I remember he turned to the technical, those were calling the sound. They used to have Holy Ghost meetings Sunday evenings at Central CAF, University of Ibadan. Was it Central CAF or Bello Dome? I can't remember. So he now said that, you guys, I know you'll be running around trying to set up your town. He said, let me teach you something simple. And I took it from that day. He said, remain conscious about that meeting, even though you're handling natural things. He said, try and be praying in tongues. He said, when he was handling that, he ensured that he was praying in tongues. Now, it's not the kind of praying in tongues that you don't even know you are praying in tongues. That you are deliberately praying in tongues because you are part of the meeting. And I recall that I taught us that culture. A friend, and another friend of his, I don't know the other friend of his, attended, one of them I think came from Canada or America, I can't remember. And he came for one of our camp meetings, I think it's 2017, and said that what he was surprised at was that those who were doing security and other things, that they were part of the meeting. That for him, he had never seen it before. And people have told me that before. Now, I'm just reminding you, because it's not unlikely some people no longer practice that. The guy noticed it and said, I'm going to take this culture to our own ministry. The fact that you are at the security or you are at the sound or you are in the ushering doesn't take you from outside the meeting. You are supposed to be in faith. You are supposed to be full of the Spirit. You are supposed to be filled with expectation as well. So, we have that tendency. We are organizing, we are planning, we may almost slide into organizing an event unconsciously. We're talking about the finances, the mobilizations, we're handling the logistics, the setting up, and all that. In fact, there was one of us that I had to call one day. I said, I noticed something. In your earlier days, you used to sit in front. And somehow, and don't let me deceive you, there's something about sitting in front. No. Keep sitting at the back. deliberately. I don't say you come and crowd the front and then you and lap yourselves. And I told that fellow, I said, you no longer, and I noticed something. You hardly respond to any ministry or laying on hands or anything that is spontaneous. You know? And you know, when you are just a bit half-hearted, but this person is core in organization. If you don't watch it down the years, the symptoms will show that there is a gap. And that gap cannot be filled, if you like, go to a mountain and stay there for 10 years. There are many things you won't get till you come back to a meeting. So, those of us who are organizing and leaders, and I'm not just going to say for camp meeting, for your fellowship. You might just, okay, maybe your pastoral care fellowship, so you just take your, you are not preaching that day, so you're just mobilizing the members of your cell group for the meeting, and then you're just, you almost feel like, let's get it over with. And you will prepare less, because you have a tendency to prepare more when you are preaching, than to prepare more when you are not preaching. It's carelessness. You cannot give what you don't have. You should prepare more for a meeting that you are not preaching at than a meeting that you are preaching at. It's just being smart. Are you here? So, and I'm deliberately sharing stories with you that, you know, I'll go back to what I was saying, that you have a tendency of being organization conscious and if you're not careful, people will, they'll give you front seats. They would, you know, and they'll call you, Pastor, Reverend, this one, and sometimes they will carry your bag. You will forget that you are there to receive. And like I said, down the years, it will show. The Yoruba say it is what a bird eats that it flies with. If it's not there, it's not there. So I have to warn that fellow. I said, watch it. You know, watch it. You don't respond anymore. It's a tendency. So, Moses knew his ways. He knew that, look at that Numbers 11. When he said, you know, he couldn't bear the burden of people alone. What did God tell him? He said, go and do for 70 men. Let them stand with you. The first thing was that it was the one who chose them. Second thing, they will stand with him. I will take the spirit that is on you and put it on them. Wow. So he knew how God works. If you miss man, you miss God. Now, don't think I am talking about a single person. I am talking about a meeting now. Which means that, and I've said it to you over the years, that look, when it comes to a believer's meeting, as it were, the highest concentration of the moving of the Spirit or the Holy Ghost is found in a meeting than in an individual life. Brother Hagin will call it the anointing without or the corporate unction. It goes without saying. In fact, even the preacher will rely a whole lot on the corporate flow of a meeting. There is that grace of God on his life that reflects in the meeting, no doubt, but he will also have to walk with the corporate flow of that meeting. That is why I am preparing us. So, God uses meetings. He uses meetings. I mentioned, and I'm going to repeat it, this is almost the fifth or sixth time I'm going to say this story in the last 2 weeks, how I went for a meeting at Adoekite. Pastor Lau told me it was 24 years ago. She was there. And I said that this fellow, I saw it in the vision that he came into the meeting. And I had something I should have told him. But he walked out just about the time I was going to say it in the vision. And it played out itself in the meeting. Why was I shown that? Well, it's because that is what happens. That's what happens. There are times like that, that God just shows you what happens. Now, there was somebody like that that was around our fellowship then. He was always moody. And he would just slip into it. I mean, he would just switch. Then normally, maybe he's talking normally, he would just change. So, on a day, this is my second time of sharing, but I never said this whole full story. On a day, I was just praying for him. So I saw that there was actually a being that was responsible for it. And that whenever he came around a meeting, his countenance will liven up. But as soon as he leaves, it's like the thing stays outside. So as when he comes in, we have the Holy Ghost thing, then as he goes out, it's just a whoop. So I kind of felt, what can we do? And I sense that there's nothing prayer can do here. That I will have to sit him down and ask him to consciously walk in the light of God's word. That sometimes such operations, they function by what we have chosen to like. Habitual things. Maybe some of us, in that instance, he was somebody who liked to dwell on the past and kept feeling sorry. This happened, that happened, this one, lost his mom, this one happened, and that one happened. So he was always feeling that way. It could be an indulgence. Do you know how people grow up? Sorry if you were like that, or you're still like that, and they do like this. You'll be surprised. Some do this one. Oh. It's so funny how an adult can do it, right? It just means that he never got rid of it. It's something you slip into when you are alone. Now in that instance, the guy just enjoyed pity. And it became spiritual. So I had to sit him down. And say, oh boy, you are dealing with a demonic oppression. Come out of it. Of course, by the grace of God, he did. He was now, not just in church, outside, he was doing fine and all that. So, there's such a thing about just being intelligent. I said that for a purpose. I didn't even plan to say what I just said now. But I guess that will bless someone. That some things, just like I said, that brother just got and left. And then he will now be looking for something. He will be praying. It may take him, I'll use another story, which is not related to church. How we're trying to see someone, I must have told you this story, the chairman of multinational in Nigeria, I was trying to see him for a particular deal and all that. So it took me a year to get the appointment. So I was going with somebody who was supposed to be like my senior partner. That's how he came late. And when we got to the man's office, there was a commissioner of Lagos State in the waiting for us to finish with the man. Let me explain what I mean. The man was seated because he gave him 11 o'clock, gave us 10:30. But this man is so principled, he didn't allow the commissioner to take our time. The commissioner sat there waiting for us to come and we did not come on time. And me, I was downstairs waiting for my senior partner. Seriously, as I looked at the research, I was 15 minutes to, let's say, finish to 11. I made up my mind, that's the end of the partnership. I'd known, no. You should know. So when we got there, this man that I now brought, he now was supposed to bring a proposal to do a presentation. He had no proposal. The chairman of one of the biggest museums in Nigeria, he had no proposal. He now brought one, the man said, He just looked at me and said, because I'm the man, I'm the one he knows. He said, my boy, he said, you didn't get this one right, though.
Ah!
As we're going downstairs, I looked at the man. You need any other sign and symbol? It took me a whole year to get that appointment. So I understand this, that you don't say, no, but if I don't go for that meeting, I'll go for another one. Are you the one that is planning the move? You think you are the only ghost, Abby, that decides to go for the next session. And the person will now be waiting, fasting. You know, I was like, why are you? Say, I'm just trusting God. This is my fellowship. I'm just believing God. But that WCC you left in the middle, and somebody else flew in from Canada, God leave, even had to, should I say, forfeit salary, bought a ticket of 4 million naira, had to pay for accommodation, flew into the same meeting that same day, did not sleep, and you think it is you God will use? Don't fool yourself now. Don't. There has to be something. We must pay a price. Not for salvation, no. Oh, I know you can't twist my words. I pastor you, so. Not for salvation, but there's a price to pay. In every meeting you want to organize, what price are you willing to pay for there to be the move of God? In every meeting you are going to be part of, that you want the move of God to be fresh, what price do you want to pay? Are you learning something here? I don't know about you. I'm hungry for more. And I look forward for more. I do. So, if God uses meetings, and people were smart enough, I showed you that Jesus said to them, it was very particular, Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. He now said, beginning from Jerusalem. He gave them a place. So then, in the same breath, those guys returned to Jerusalem. They were smart enough to pay attention to details. 4 o'clock. Four Square Gospel Church grounds. First session. Pay attention to those details. Second session is 2 o'clock. First session is 7 a.m. That is the move of God. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, that means they had a time. They were all in one place in one accord. Punctuality is also critical. Now, he gave them a place so that you don't miss it. In Acts 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon. Sorry, Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry where? He repeats it. Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Don't expect God to move in Samaria when he gave you Jerusalem. Don't say God is everywhere. You think he doesn't know? He gave you Jerusalem. So, they were intelligent enough to all stay in the same place. They were in the upper room. They were smart that there are things you will do when God wants to do something. So they stayed. Call it a camp meeting. They were expecting the outpouring of the Spirit. So they knew what to do. Let's track back and see that Jesus also expected the move of God at John's baptism. Where would God... So let's say, who will introduce Jesus? John. Where will Jesus receive it? Wherever John was. Is that very clear? who was sent before him. Malachi 3:1. John. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Isaiah 40 verse 3. John. So where would Jesus receive? If Jesus had left, if he said, well, that's John's baptism, why is he using Jordan? Well, I will wait till John comes to Bethlehem. He will have become 70. And who knows? John will have been beheaded. That's how redemption tarry you. You don't choose those things. And you know, a lot of people went there. Jesus went there on an appointment. John said, cause Jay. Said, no, you baptize me. And do you know that event was so significant that it was the event that led to the choosing of the apostles either before the death of Jesus or afterwards. It became a crucial fact of the gospel and the doctrine throughout the book of Acts. The baptism that John, there was a place that it happened. Now, did Jesus go there with swimsuit? He went there praying. Is that an intelligence? So, how do I make a demand on the flow of the Holy Ghost? Is it that I will pray for the meeting or I will pray into it? There's a difference. You can take 5 steps forward and 10 steps backwards. So I don't pray towards the meeting. I pray into it. Do I pray through it? Huh? I pray through it. Look back at the meetings that, you can do it yourself. Look back at the meetings that were a high point. Take note of your preparation. Just reproduce it or increase intensity. That's all. I'm sure some of us that struggled at some meetings, you have not made some of your recent friends. That's the next thing we are going to talk about. The people that were going to be blessed had to stay in the same place. They had to stay in the same place. So watch who you surround yourself with. Watch it. I've noticed something before. And I know that those of you who lay hands on people on a line, you will notice that when you get to some people, Brother Hagin taught us this one, you would see that like the tangible unction will just almost, like it just lifts. And it happens also in locations where people sit. You can also look around you. So you sit around the right people. One accord. So watch the people that you have around you. So you don't pray to the meeting alone. You pray into it. Acts 1. And 14. They all continue with one accord. One accord is not just a loose adjective. It describes an attitude. One accord. So, Saints Community Church, do you know we can be in one accord? Let me tell you some simple things. Let's all get to services on time before camp meeting. One. Let's all not miss one service. Let's all get into the service. If you are a cell leader, a fellowship coordinator, a pastor, what's the instruction? Is that we should have pre-camp meeting Holy Ghost meetings, right? So the one accord will be, let everybody have that meeting. One accord. One accord is that next week we are fasting from Sunday through to Friday, and we're going to be here every day praying between 6 and 7:30. 7:30. One accord is to be there. One accord is to ensure that the vigil you are there. One accord means that when we are fasting And the teachings we are going to listen to includes what I'm teaching now. One accord will mean that you will listen to it. You see, that is how they achieved it. They all stayed in the same place. Because that was how Brother Badewa would say, can I go and check my uncle? He won't come back. The devil will wait for him with his uncle. Distract him with family problem. Rather than come back and prepare for camp meeting, he's sending a text to Pastor Peter. Please, can you pray? There are issues in my family. So one accord simply meant you made sure there was no barrier in preparing for the meeting. They are fasting. One accord means that you should fast, not hunger strike. Hunger strike is looking onto the clock, the author and finisher of your fasting. You now know how the minute hand works. You know the gravity by which it moves, or let's say the velocity. You are so detailed about how the sun rotates or the earth rotates around the sun. Oh boy, you are not fasting. Fasting means I'm taking myself off pleasures and I'm focusing on spiritual realities and activities. Be in one accord. So there is intelligence to the things of God, an intelligence to it. There's an intelligence to it. When I told you I walked into a meeting and, okay, look at the meeting I told you of. I used to go from Ibadan to Lagos to listen to the teaching of ministry gifts, the anointing of ministry gifts. And naturally, I'll be fasting. Naturally. I remember that this particular week, not the week of this one, but there's a week that I took 4 days of dry fast because of the teaching. It was just a teaching meeting. And during the meeting, I wore a silk shirt. And the man of God simply said, oh, if you are called to teach, you believe that God has called you to teach and explain scriptures, because I just talked about the ministry of a teacher. But I never thought I was, so I didn't come out. So as it was me, he said, no, you, I was maybe the third row. I don't sit at the back. Sorry. So he said, you're the third row. And why was he third row? Because leaders were in the first row. So I'm never usually far from the front. I'm too intelligent to be late. Again, sorry. No, not that. No, because this kind of midweek service, you probably are late because of work. But where you can get in on time, don't delay. You know? And he just said, and I came forward. And he laid hands on me. Said, from today, the ability to explain scriptures and teach the word, and there will be, in fact, what he said, he said there will be a peculiar anointing that will make you communicate scriptures and make people understand it. It was from that point that I started to have a proper engagement with original language. I never even wanted it. The first time I took Dick's Bible and I saw Greek, I just threw it away. What's this? Let me just preach and tell you, serve God! Or cry when I'm preaching. But from that day, the hands were laid on me. I began to have an unusual thirst, an unusual interaction with scriptures. Hands were laid. Imagine if I missed that day. I had come for the entire series, but missed that particular one. I would not be one day say, oh God. Maybe 3 years after, or 4 years. That is if we are lucky. Oh God! Oh God! You not double your fasting, nothing will happen. Oh God! So be intelligent, okay? How many of you have a fair idea of what a camp meeting is? You've been there. You know Carrie's camp meeting, Abby. You see the move of God there. You see the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. You know we can step it up. We can. That's why I'm teaching you now. And like I told you that day, do you know we use Foursquare? And Foursquare Church has a pioneering history of Amy Semple McPherson. I'm intelligent. We are there. And we honor their ministry. We can't honor and go empty-handed.
Yes, sir.
I'm big. Bible is big or no. Do you know why it's big or no? Because God's method is man. It's just the consequence. And don't forget, it's not just honor for pastor. People think that it's about, no. It's honor for the believer. Seeing every believer in their office. You know, in Saints Community Church, and I'm saying this because I'm praying a lot about it. The more we treat ourselves better and well, I know that we're going to see a greater flow of God's Spirit. That is going to not just be in our services. It's going to be in our interactions. For as we avoid carnality in our interactions and stay more in the Spirit, in how we talk and receive from one another, we'll see how easily, like a knife through butter, hot one, will flow with the Holy Ghost in interactions generally. I'm saying that whilst at home, whilst just interacting, we're just in the car together, there will be a flow of the Spirit that will come with much more ease. Why is it difficult for us to flow better when we are together at home? Well, it's because we play down on that culture when we are outside the meetings. But when we choose to see one another through the eyes of God's Word and God's Spirit, you know, and you are smart enough not to refer to someone according to an argument you had last night, or a debate that you won the day before, or a fault you saw a week earlier, and you just say, I can separate that one. This one has nothing to do with that. Because this treasure is in earthen vessels. So I'm not ready, I'm not prepared to focus on the earthen vessel. I will look at the excellency of the power of God inside. See, Church Community Church, if we can improve upon this, and, you know, choose to just be better in how we see one another. And one thing I know, is it can only be enhanced when we pray more for one another. Now, what I'm saying is this. Can you just pray more for people close to you? I'm saying that those that you see every day, your husband, your wife, your kids, your family, your bunk mates, your roommates, imagine if you pray more for them and you just prayed more. I'm not saying the prayer you pray when we're having a prayer meeting. I'm just saying you just decide to pray more. Let me say it like this. Praying every day for people very close to you, you will see them differently. It's automatic. And you will get more from them. Since Community Church, I am the one saying this to you. There is still more we haven't seen. And there is still more we must see. And this is our season of growing and growth. We have to put away childish things. No, we have to. We have to consciously mature. I mean consciously mature. You see, no things that, you see, that is not paying you, leave it alone. See, staying on social media, you know, getting so many things in your mind, has it worked for you? Now you can stay on it for business, you know, to interact with clients. But you see, don't allow it influence how you see people. It's a dangerous thing. Stay with the Word of God. And you will see people where they are. See, you don't need to come through the roof to receive from your friend. No, you don't need to. You know who your friend is. And you can get from your friend. See, if God works with people, that means that, I said it in the meeting, the work of the Spirit is located. You can locate it. The woman with the issue of blood located, you can locate it. This is where it is. Imagine Timothy not having Paul and going to Bible school. That would not make the gift of God obvious. You need to be with Paul. Imagine if he was around Paul, but the day hands were being laid, he went on a holiday. Don't miss such moments. In camp meeting, the way the ministry of laying on hands is going to work will be very different. I saw it last year. I thought it was last year, but it's this year. You don't even know what I'm talking about, but you will see it. And the only way we can harness it is when we see one another by the Word and the Holy Ghost. Saints Community Church, I am the one saying it to you. We will need to improve upon our interactions. We need to up our honor for one another. We need to develop a deep honor culture. It's neither Nigerian or Ghanaian or American or European. It's the biblical one that makes you call someone who initially you called a murderer, Brother Saul. It's the biblical one that will make you call someone after God's grace, not after human claims. We need to step that up. We need to call things that be not as though they were. For in the meetings of the camp meeting, there will be like waves and uniqueness per session. Every session will carry a uniqueness. Everything. And one thing I told the pastors, there is a stirring of faith. A stirring of faith. A stirring of the gifts of God that will be there. Stirring. Which means the way you've not used your faith before, you use it now. Amen. The way you used to use your faith that you abandoned, you'll be able to use it. Some of us could look back and say, it was time I released my faith and this happened, that happened. And you are not seeing those things again. Well, for camp meeting, it's coming back. A stirring to faith. A stirring to believe and receive. A stirring of the gifts of God. It's been seen. But let's get back to that. Culture. I gave you the story of my friends for that purpose. The first time I got into a trance was my friend. He laid hands on me, not as a friend. Then I used to use a very thick glasses. Could hardly read without it. I couldn't read without it. Everyone knew me then as having thick glasses. I had a gold thing around it. And they said, I know you come from today, you use it. And just move it. And laid hands on me. Pam, there I was in a trance. They had to carry me. If, for example, I just didn't see anything special about what he was doing, that's how what would have been. So we must see one another. Ask yourself, that your friend in church now, what's the purpose of this friendship? Your husband, what's the purpose of this marriage? Do you know that the purpose is higher? Far higher than what humanity or human mind can conceive. The purpose is divine. And let's pursue it. That's why we must not abuse our relationships. Abuse it to satisfy lust, the flesh. Abuse it to use one another to accomplish our goals. We must always stick to the divine purpose. And so it is. The coming days are better. Because there's an increased intensity. And for those of us who are pastors, let's be on the edge. When you're on the edge, you're expecting something. Let's be on the edge. Let's be on the edge intentionally. For the camp meeting, during the camp meeting, after it. Let's be on the edge. Let's be on the edge. Let's be on the edge intentionally. Let's be on the edge when we're around one another intentionally. I will just expect that the move of the Spirit will happen through you. I'm just on the edge about it. So, let's camp around one another. As we go towards camp meeting, stay around more those that are attending the meeting and who have the sensitivity towards it. As we go around, discuss it more. Talk about it the more. Talk about what God is doing the more. Talk about the moving of the Spirit the more. I remember we organized a meeting in 1996, Prophecy 96, I close here, by my friend Tunji. And then that meeting also, different people preached there. He lined up some preachers, I didn't preach. And we kept talking about it. We kept talking about that meeting, And he told me the vision God showed him in 1995 about that meeting. It was basically a meeting where they were just Holy Ghost meetings, focusing on utterance. If I remember that after that meeting, he said that he was going to pastor a church, the Church of Utterance. Can you imagine? And we just prepared for the meeting. I brought people from Lagos to attend the meeting. for a single night. You know, I think about 8 or 10 or more who came around. And I stayed up late to just pray towards him. I wasn't preaching there. I helped organize for the meeting. And that day, I won't forget that as the speaker was preaching, you know, I just felt a cloak, stay on me. So I kind of felt that, did I just wear something? I literally knew that, like I wore a jacket. Did I wear something? No. As I closed my eyes, like the thing became bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, bigger and bigger and bigger. So I saw someone just stand before me. One of the ministers. And he described that experience. So I said to myself, wow. When I left, I didn't go back to the room. I just went out. So I met myself and Brother Ayo. We went Ayoalaka. We left. I think he went to eat or something. I just went down and prayed. The more I prayed that day, it's like the thing just got firmer and firmer and firmer and firmer and firmer. Then I heard words. I heard words. Words that are still working now. What's the history? I simply prepared extra. And that expectation made me tell other people, let's go. That meeting, that meeting will be blessed. So I took all my disciples to the meeting to be blessed. The coming days are better. I'm deliberately teaching you. Deliberately. So that our expectations will be heightened. Let it reflect in how we organize and mobilize. We're going for the move of God. We're going for the manifestation of God's power, for the cloud of glory. We're going for revelation knowledge. We're going for stirrings of the Spirit, gifts of healings, workings of miracles. Say it every day. Make a demand on camp meeting. Make a pool. Make a demand on the meeting. And whatever you believe, you'll receive. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Yeah.